Promise, Lord, that you would satisfy the hungry and the thirsty soul. God, let us all be people who want more of you, more of your presence, more of your power, more of your anointing, more of your spirit of wisdom and revelation, more of your truth, Lord, that comes from your word, revelation, understanding. And we pray for this in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray that you'll open our eyes to see. God, give our hearts the ability to understand, our spirit the ability to understand, Lord, what you're saying to the church. Not just what you said, but what you're saying. And we thank you for that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Welcome, everyone. Fire and Grace Church this morning, those watching and listening. Out there, all over the place, those here today. We're going to start out this morning. We're going to be going to Genesis chapter 3. I've just entitled this message today, The Same Old Lies. The Same Old Lies. It just keeps happening. The devil, he just, you know, in the world, don't they always talk about, you know, rebranding. Rebrand. We got to rebrand. Well, that's all the devil does. He takes the same old lies, the same old schemes, the same old tricks, and he just repackages them, rebrands them into something else. You know, it's amazing because you really can trace it all back to Genesis. Really, really everything. Listen, you guys want to know the foundation of our faith, the foundation of the Bible, Genesis 1 through 6. You really say the whole book of Genesis, but Genesis 1 through 6, there's so much there. The foundation of what's going on today in our world. Satan hasn't changed. The serpent, the devil, Lucifer, the dragon, whatever you want to call him, he ain't changed. Same lies he told Eve, he's repackaged in many different ways, and he tries to sell them the same way. But let's go to Genesis 3 and let's read that. We're going to start at verse 1. Because I've had some interesting conversations this week. There's a whole new level of crazy about. And I'm not joking. Just when I think it's maxed out, crazy, right? Loco. We're there. We're at the peak of insanity in the world. It gets worse. I wish I could read you guys an email today that I got received this week. But even though it's in English, I could speak in Chinese and you would probably understand more of the Chinese than you would of the email that I got. Okay? That's how bad the level of crazy is. All right? But let's go back to the beginning here. Let's go back to Adam and Eve for a minute. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, the fruit rather, of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them, or of them both, rather, were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Oh, the passing of the buck always, right? And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, you can read on if you want to later on, but I just want to focus on a few things here because this week I had a disturbing phone call conversation with someone in my extended family. I won't get into who it is. It's a kind of a distant relative, but we did have a discussion. And what I was surprised at, this man is older than me. He's probably one of the nicest men you'd ever meet. You know, just gentle, nice, good heart, good nature individual, you know, grew up in the South all of his life. In fact, he lives here in Alabama, not here in this area, but he lives in Alabama. Grew up going to Baptist and Methodist churches all of his life. And for the most part, as long as I've known him, been, you know, pretty sound in his faith and his walk with Jesus and in the foundational doctrines of Christianity. But in the last two conversations I've had with him on the phone, I have to say I've been shocked because he got himself hooked up, and this didn't happen overnight. But again, this is what happens when it can happen to anyone that begins to believe one of the lies here in the garden, one of the old lies. And when I say one of the old lies, I should say one of the old techniques. Because what was the devil doing? One of the main things he did in the garden was what? He cast doubt on God's word, on what God had said to them, what God had already established. And whenever you hear somebody cast doubt on the scriptures, and we're going to talk about that today, that's the voice of Satan. That's the voice of demons, devils, evil spirits. Whenever they say, well, I don't know. I know the Bible says, but I don't know. It was written by men. Or I like some of it, but I don't know about some of the other parts of it. Or why wasn't this book included and this one wasn't? When they start going down that road, you know they're listening to the serpent just like Eve did. And if the devil can get you to doubt any part of God's word, anything that he said, or just change it a little bit, get you to believe that, then you're going to be headed down the road that he wants you on. And that road is going to be the road of deception and sin and destruction. That's the road. And it's real easy, just as easy as it is to come to a fork in the road, and all you have to do is gently turn your steering wheel just a little bit. That's all you got to do. You gently turn off the path, and you're on a new road. You're on the devil's road. And so this relative of mine starts talking about how, you know, growing up Baptist and then being in Methodist churches his whole life, that, you know, he found out that his beliefs, and when I say he's talking about his beliefs, his solid biblical Christian beliefs were too narrow. Too narrow. That's what he said. And that now he's following a monk out in Arizona by the name of Richard Rohr. Now, what he didn't know was that I already knew about Richard Rohr. I know all about Richard Rohr. I know what he believes. He's a renegade Franciscan, Roman Catholic Franciscan monk who is basically teaching New Age gobbledygook theology and mixing Christianity and Roman Catholicism and everything else, Buddhism and Hinduism and everything. He's just mixing it all together. He's truly one of the what's called the emerging church leaders. I talked about him probably back in 2010 and 11 time period. Even mentioned him, I think I'm pretty sure I mentioned him in my book, The Polluted Church, talking about this false church that really the one world church that is arising, Satan's counterfeit. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has always been Satan's counterfeit. All right. In fact, I love, and I've said this many times, I've quoted Leonard Ravenhill, his book, Revival, Why Revival Tarries, 1959. He said that the Roman Catholic Church is the greatest forgery Lucifer ever made. And it was from the get-go, from the beginning. All right. There's always been a counterfeit church. Now it just incorporates many other groups as well. All right. But this relative of mine started talking about he was following Richard Rohr. And Richard Rohr's latest book he just put out, and if this gives you any idea of what this guy believes, The Universal Christ, or The Universal Christ Consciousness, or something down that road. Anyway, so he said his way was too narrow. And so in our second conversation here, I just finally said, Jesus said that narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. I said, the way is narrow. Because he started talking about, he believes now in universal salvation. Everybody's going to heaven because of this monk. He's a follower now of this monk. And then we all have the God DNA in us. We're all part of God. And I'm sitting here listening to this. And of course, Nancy's sitting there listening to this and keeps hitting my mute button. What's he talking about? Has he lost his mind? And I'm like, deceived. Why is he deceived? Well, somewhere along the line, he started listening to people that cast doubt on God's word. Well, we can believe this part, but not this part. Well, it's a good book. We like the parts that talk about love, but we don't know about these other parts. We don't know about these other parts that are talking about judgment and God's wrath and about homosexuality being an abomination, detestable, evil. Oh, no, we can't go there. And I'm sitting there just, thinking, here's someone who I have watched over the years have a solid walk with the Lord and grounded in the faith. completely departed in apostasy. And it just made me realize, I mean, again, you're talking about a guy who grew up in the Bible Belt, grew up in Alabama his entire life, went to church his entire life. So if you have any, doubts that you could be, you know, some people walk around and think, well, I couldn't be deceived. Let me tell you something. Eve was sinless and in a perfect environment when the devil got to her with his whispers. But it all starts with, God said, you eat of this tree, you die. Oh, no, 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 no. What has God said? What did God really say? What did he really mean? You won't die. Now, of course, in our minds, we'll think he's talking about dying physically. No, God was talking about something far worse. Spiritual death, meaning being separated from him. And I told you last week, death doesn't mean annihilation or ceasing to exist. It means separation from him. That's the worst thing. That's what death is. It's separation from the Creator, from God Almighty, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you're separated from him through sin, rebellion, disobedience, unbelief, apostasy, whatever. If you're separated, you're walking in death. You're the walking dead. And I was listening to this stuff and I was just like, wow. It really is all about what happened in Genesis. You can disobey God and there are no consequences. You can doubt God's word, cast his word aside and do what you want and be your own God. This is the message of Satan. It is the same old lies, folks. And it's been repackaged in many different ways, especially in our modern world now. Follow your heart. And then he started talking like that. Well, I just believe everybody needs to know in their heart what is right for them. Their truth. They need to find their truth. What their heart feels. And I said, no. The prophet Jeremiah said, by the Holy Spirit speaking through him, that the heart of man is deceitfully and desperately wicked and deceitful. You don't follow your heart. But how many Disney songs? Follow your heart. And become a witch. No, they're really saying follow me, right? That's what Disney is really saying. You little children, follow your heart. Follow us into this land of fairy tales and wonder and magic, and we'll train you to be a little witch or a little warlock, a little sorcerer that hates God, hates the Bible, and doesn't want any part of anything to do with Jesus. That's what it's all about. And then, so that's the beginning of the week, right? And of course, I lay it out to him. You know, he starts down that road. Oh, it's all that. And I was like, no, you don't follow your heart. And then I asked him, I said, so let me ask you something. I said, listen, we got a serial killer who's out just killing folks. He enjoys it. Well, and they got him on videotape. He's busted. And then he gets arrested and he tells them, just like Ted Bundy told him, if you let me out of here, I'm going to go do it again because I enjoy it. I said, so let me ask you something. You're going to tell me that that guy goes to heaven with the rest of us? Well, I don't want to judge anybody. Oh, people. We can't judge. Don't judge. I don't want to judge anybody. I said, he started down there. I said, whoa, time out, Chief. Time out. I said, you don't have to judge anybody. The word of God and their own actions is what judges them. And I said, in saying he's a serial killer and deserves the death penalty or at least to be in prison for life is not me judging him. It's just stating the facts. I'm not judging him. His actions, his choices, and the word of God that declares what is right and what is wrong has already judged him. That's why Jesus said, I don't judge anybody. They're already judged. The word of God says if you commit fornication, you practice fornication, you're a fornicator. The word of God said that, not Pastor Dean. If you're a homosexual, and the word of God says if you are in same-sex sexual sin, you're a homosexual and it's an abomination, it's not me judging you. It's just saying it's wrong. It's sin. It's evil. It's not what God wants for you. It's against him. He hates it. But just because he hates it doesn't mean he hates you. Lord, if that was true, then none of us would be saved. But, of course, that's where they got to go. If you dare tell somebody something's sin or something's wrong or something's immoral or something's unethical, you're a hater because you're judging. No. Let's get this out of the way for me. Let's turn real quick to Matthew 7. Let's deal with this judging issue. You know, I've mentioned this in passing before, but this is something that's important because, of course, this is what all the homosexuals say. This is what all the lukewarm, backslidden Christians say, most of your unsaved world. Don't judge. If you dare start saying, you know, you need to turn from sin. We're going to Matthew 7, verse 1. See, this is. Let me give you a perfect example of how people use the Bible incorrectly. All right? Here's Matthew 7, verse 1. Now let's read it. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, if you stop there, you are taking this scripture out of context. And you have created a falsehood. The moment you take it out of context, right? So let's read it in its context and see if God doesn't want us to judge righteously. And then we're going to look at another verse. But let's read this. So Matthew 7, verse 1, and we're going to read, I don't know, we'll just keep reading. Matter of fact, we may read all the way to 23. Y'all ready? Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Again, it sounds like he's saying you can't judge anything. But hold on. The ride's not over. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now let's stop right there for a second. Do you see what Jesus did there? What he's talking about here is hypocritical judging. For instance, if I'm a New Age wacko, right, that believes we're all gods and we're in reincarnation and everything else, I'm going to be an absolute fool if I go to another New Age wacko and say, you need to get out of your New Age nonsense, right? Or let's say they have more New Age nonsense than me. I'm just clinging to one false doctrine like reincarnation, but they got four or five different ones. And I go to them and I say, you know what, you need to get out of this New Age stuff, but yet I'm clinging to a New Age belief. So what the Bible says, though, what Jesus is talking about here is you have, if you have it in your life, you have no right to go try to help anybody else get out of that problem. Deal with yourself first. That's all he's saying. Deal with yourself first. Get that out of your eye. So I get rid of my false doctrine of reincarnation. I'm not clinging to any New Age gobbledygook, false demonic philosophies or beliefs. Then I can go to my brother and say, you know what? Those things are error. They're sin. They're demonic doctrines. You need to turn loose of them, repent, and get in the truth and walk in the truth. That's what he's talking about. So anybody that uses that, don't judge. Judge not. They are taking that completely out of its context. Guess what? I don't drink. I don't drink. I don't get drunk. I don't go to the club. So guess what? I can go to somebody who's got a drinking problem. They're a drunkard, a habitual drinker, a habitual drunkard. And I go to them and say, look, the Bible says no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. This is a sin, and you need to repent and ask God to forgive you, and you need to break that addiction and break that sin off of you by repentance and faith in Jesus, and let the blood of Jesus wash you clean and start walking with him. And again, it's not condemning them. It's saying, here's the way to help. Here's the way to freedom. Here's the way to something better. You know, the word condemn, let me just deal this with you. Say, oh, you're condemning people. No, the word condemn, if you look it up in the Webster's dictionary, but if you look it up, it means to sentence someone. Now, if I'm a judge and I sentence someone, that's it. That's the final decree. There's no other hope. If I sentence you, and I had a good friend who was a circuit court judge in Montgomery. And once he sentenced you, that was pretty much it, because he was the one that would hear appeals. But after your appeals, and that was it, man, when he sentenced you, that was it. There was, if you're going to serve, here's the deal. You're getting 25 years, but we're going to set up the option. You may get out in 5 for good behavior. That's the sentence. Next case. If we walk around like that saying to people, there's no hope for you. You're going to hell. You're a devil. There's no hope. You're a drunkard, you're a fornicator, you're a homosexual, and there's no hope for you. That's condemning somebody. But if you say, look, you know what? I was once a drunkard, a fornicator. I once had addiction problems and bad habits and sins. And you go to that person and you say, you know what? I found the way out. I found the way to forgiveness. I found the way to deliverance. I found the way to have that sin taken away and thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, to be right with God, to have eternal life. Come with me. How is that judging? How is that condemning? But listen, stating that it's what sin is or what is wrong and immoral is not condemning or judging. It's just stating the facts. It's saying what God says it is. And that's all there is to it. You hear what I'm saying? But we got a bunch of Christians out there. Mr. Todd Bentley. How many of you know who Todd Bentley is? Our crowd is only like... Yeah, and most of y'all only know because of me. Most of it. I think some of you may have heard about it before you met me. Not very many. Todd Bentley was the so-called leader of the Lakeland Revival. The hippies went, I think. Y'all did go down there, didn't you? Yes, you did. I thought so. See what I mean? Before they met us, they tried everything. I'm not even going to say the name of who it is. Y'all can figure it out. Probably. They tried everything. And it was good Baptist. They tried everything. Acupuncture, nutrition testing, biofeedback. They got all that stuff. Out of ignorance, of course. They just didn't know. And I ended up at Lakeland Revival with Todd Bentley. So funny, because that was in 2008. We didn't come here until 2009. But anyway, for those of you who don't, I wrote about it in the Polluted Church because I knew when I saw the guy and then I saw who he was associated with, Bob Jones, Paul Kane, Rick Joyner, all that, all the false prophets and Kundalini spirit, false counterfeit nutcases that are in the Charismatic Pentecostal Church world. And I'm Charismatic Pentecostal, but I won't have anything to do with these people because I know what they are. All right. But I knew once I saw him with those people, I said, this guy's full of demons. And it's not going to change unless he comes out of that. Okay? And I talked to somebody for a while who was on the ministry team with them in Lakeland. So this doesn't come from here, so this comes from straight up the horse's mouth. I'm talking about the inner circle. All right? And of course, the revival goes on for a few months. I mean, we're talking about 10,000 people showing up regularly down there, right? And so all the big wigs, the Bill Johnson of Bethel, who they're off the wagon now. I mean, they're so far gone. Rick Joyner, Shay On, Peter C. Peter Wagner, who's now dead. I don't know, all the who's who of the charismatic, or I should say the charismaniac world. Like the Animaniacs, except the charismaniacs. All the who's who's there. And this is, they got Todd Bentley up on the stage, laying hands on him, prophesying one prophecy after another, how he's going to be the greatest thing, the greatest revivalist of all time, and the next, he's the man that's going to lead the next wave of the great revival in America and the world. And they're saying this, they're prophesying this over him while he's cheating on his wife with his assistant at that moment. And within a month, it all comes out. And then he leaves his wife and his children, his family, and marries the assistant. So not only does he commit adultery, he divorces his wife without any biblical grounds to do so, marries this other woman, and now he's living in adultery. And Rick Joyner and all the who's who, Bethel, Bill Johnson and all of them, we're going to restore Todd to the ministry. We're going to take him through a restoration. No, he's living in adultery. He needs to sit down and shut up. He's done. Finished. It's over. Oh, but Pastor Dean, he's supposed to, doesn't Galatians 6 say he's supposed to restore a brother in meekness? That's the brother who's actually in repentance. Who's actually remorseful and repentant and trying to change. Not the one who leaves his wife and family and marries the assistant that he was cheating on his wife with. This is the mess. This is why so many people don't have anything to do with Christianity, because it's a mess. But see, what most people don't know is Rick Joyner is a Jesuit, and I can prove all that. Knights of Malta he's in. I mean, he's a Jesuit. Everybody thinks he's a prophet of God. No, he's not. Never has been, nor will he be. But he has huge following. So, in just the last, now I wrote about Todd Bentley and this whole group of false prophets, Bob Jones, Paul Kane. I talked about their sexual immorality. Paul Kane is their big prophet, father, prophet, leader, who loved to get drunk and have homosexual affairs. Bob Jones, he used to, that when Bob Jones was at Mike Bickle's church, Kansas City Fellowship in the 80s, he would have, you know, that was when the allegedly the big prophetic movement began. Now, I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm telling you, these are the counterfeit. We got the counterfeit in here. And he was having women come in his office, but they had to undress to get a prophetic word from the Lord. That was Bob Jones. Not Bob Jones University, the prophet Bob Jones, who was with Mike Vickle and then went on later to be with Rick Joyner for many, many years. And they call him, Mike Vickle calls him the IHOP, the International House of Prayer. Mike Vickle calls him the father of their movement. Well, if that's your father, it's time to find a new one. Okay? All these people, let me tell you, I've met face to face. All right? All those, these people I'm naming, except for Todd Bentley, I've met most all of these people face to face. Yeah, I didn't go to Lakeland. but here's what happened. So recently, in the last few days, a guy who worked with Todd Bentley's ministry for many years came out and said, we have screenshots from texts he sent to interns, both male and female, soliciting, you know what? Yeah, male and female. I can't even say some of this stuff. Okay? Since 2013 on into 2018 and 19. Doing drugs, drinking, going and doing a meeting in a big meeting in a church, and then coming back drinking and smoking dope, and there's a whole lot of sexual perversion going on as well. Now let me just say, anybody can read my book that published it in 2012. I talked about this, warned about this. Back then, 2012, it's 2019, 7 years ago. I'm like, these people are trouble. They're sexual perverts and deviants. They're full of demons, and they're not going to get free from them because they're into all kind of occult practices. Well, sure enough, then Rick Joyner comes on and defends all this. Basically demonizes the guy that exposed it all, that he was an accuser of the brethren. How dare you? Oh, you know why? Because old Todd and his Kundalini wife with her crazy stuff. The Kundalini spirit will take you over. It's a spirit you get from Hinduism, yoga, Buddhism, but it's a spirit. Kundalini means serpent power that will embed itself in your spine, and it causes extreme physical manifestations. And there was one. Y'all need to find the peak elephants and the swishing head. I mean, it looks like her head's about to come off her body, okay? If y'all can find that, they'll help them understand what we're talking about here. I can't even do it justice because it's a demonic manifestation, right? So what I'm getting at is all this is going on. This is this week, okay? This is this week. But again, you see these so-called leaders accusing the one saying, hey, we have a sin problem in here. We need to handle this the way Paul said to handle it. And he needs to be removed from the ministry, even put out of the church, put out of the ministry until he can repent and get help and get delivered and get free. There's a biblical way to handle things. But the moment you start trying with these folks, it's like, oh, you're judging, you're the accuser of the brethren, it's the wrong spirit to expose it publicly, all this stuff, man. And I'm just like, people have no concept of what's going on. I hate to say, and again, I'm Pentecostal, charismatic, meaning I believe in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit of God. All nine gifts, I believe in supernatural, that God is still supernatural. But I wouldn't send anybody. Oh, yeah, let's play. This is Todd Bentley, the one, the assistant he cheated with. It's now his wife. And this is one of the, what I call, this is a Kundalini manifestation here. This is what I was, go ahead. Is this the pink elephant too? Well, I don't care about hearing about the pink elephant.
And then he looked over and he saw me and he stopped and he ran over to me and he put his hands over my eyes and he said, "What do you see?" And so I looked and I didn't see anything at first, and then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eye. Getting a hope from God to be able to see, to discern the times and the seasons that's ahead of you. And the thing about the elephant, it wasn't just an ordinary elephant. It was a wild elephant, a wild elephant. It was radical, 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 radical. And the elephant means a great impact. And I really felt like what happened in Lakeland was just the beginning. It's just an introductory. It's just an introduction. Just a table of contents of what's to come. And I felt like the great impact is greater, greater, greater. It's the great impact. And the greatest impact that you can have is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. It's to give an encounter of Jesus Christ to every single person. That's the greatest impact we can have. The great impact is the great revival. It's the great harvest.
Yeah, that is at Morning Star in South Carolina, Fort Mills, wherever they are. That's Rick Joyner's place. So he allowed this to continue. He put them on stage. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So what I'm getting at is, yeah, that's a mild one too. That's a mild Kundalini, we say, demonic manifestation. It's sad because really pretty much most of the charismatic Pentecostal church world that believes in the gifts of the Spirit have been invaded by this. And through ignorance and through bringing these people into their churches and ministries, they polluted them and just opened doors up to all kind of insanity. So, again, everything okay over there? Okay. We don't have to call security, do we? That would be me. All right. Anyway, but let's get back to and I'm going to try to do this one quick. All right. That's just one part of it all. So that was this week too. All right. And of course, all kind of people it's just blowing up. And I said, you know, I told Nancy before we got here, I said, most of our people don't even know who these people are. I said, thank God. Glad they don't. You know, count yourself blessed, right, if you didn't get tangled up in all that nonsense. Now, then out of the blue this week, we had another Torah head. What? Oh, you're looking at me funny. We had another Torah head, Rob Skiba follower, who attacked us before. Start attacking again. And it's so wild. I hadn't even talked about the Torah or Skiba. Right? So he starts attacking us again on social media. And I'm like, what is this? So we had our investigators check out some stuff. And we have multiple investigators, actually. But, man, let me tell you. We started getting some... finding some of this guy's videos and social media posts. And this guy right now, he's at Take on the World, and I should say Torah on the World conference in Ohio. All right. And this guy was actually one of the guys trying to assist the guy who threatened me on social media, trying to help him find Nathan Roberts' home address, I guess, so they could stalk him or something. When I exposed that on the video that they were and showed the screenshots of them looking for Nathan Roberts' house, boy, they started backpedaling real quick, because the next thing that was going to happen was going to be a call to the law enforcement, right? They just barely escaped that. I was one breath away from calling law enforcement on these people. But this is the same dude, you know, that with that little group. And so I was blown away, because I'm going to read this to you, all right? I'm going to just read just a few of his. This is the kind of stuff. Now, what we're getting at is, remember, talking about the same old lies, casting doubt on God's word. All right? So here's one he sent. He posted at some point. He was in a debate. I'm just going to say the guy's name. His name's Dustin Wells. You see this guy? Black bearded fella, Torah freak, right? If you see this guy, just know you're looking at a heretic, all right? You're really looking at someone who thinks they're a Jew, but they're a blasphemer, all right? Exactly what Jesus warned about. But he says, somebody said something about all scripture, because, of course, they want you to just keep the Old Testament, right? They think if you don't keep the Old Testament law, you're not right with God, you don't love God, you're not saved. And so he makes the statement here. He says, I'm assuming that you're talking about these verses. And he gives 2 Timothy 3:16. Go ahead and put 2 Timothy 3:16 up for me. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, right? So somebody had made the point, no, all scripture, because he was basically what he was doing, he's denying the inspiration, the divine inspiration of the New Testament. And this is where they end up. Because the New Testament proves them, their whole philosophy, their whole theology, these Torah, Hebrew roots people, it proves them completely wrong. So what they have to do, when something, you've got documents that prove you wrong, you have to try to disparage or cast doubt upon the document, right? That's what all lawyers do, right? You got a good witness coming up for the other side. We've got to discredit the witness because their testimony is too strong, right? Common tactic of the devil, nothing new. So he begins to talk about, you know, basically cast doubt and say, well, we don't believe the New Testament is inspired. It's just simply letters about the Old Testament. And then he makes this mistake, and he says, he quotes this verse here in 2 Timothy, and he says, in the verses, the scriptures that Paul is talking about is what we call the Old Testament today, because the New Testament had not been written, therefore he was not referring to the New Testament. If you want to get into a discussion of what scripture is and what it is not, and then he goes into this whole thing about the New Testament. Let me just go ahead and explain some. That's a devil talking. Because let me give you a little information here. Okay? Remember that Paul said, and if we continue, what's the verse? We're still in 2 Timothy 3, but let's go to this verse real quick. Let me 2 Timothy 3. Where he tells him this. Yeah. So he talks about there's going to be deceivers. In verse 15, back up one verse, he says this. He tells him to continue in the things that you have learned. And he tells this to Timothy. He says that from a child, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, remember, everybody, that Timothy was a young man in the faith. He was, Paul called him his son in the faith, all right? Now, they didn't even consider you a man in that culture until you were 30 years old, all right? So I am guessing here, we don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that at minimum, or at the most, Timothy may have been 30 years old. He may have been in his 20s. And this assumption that the only scriptures that Paul's referring to here is the Old Testament is just that. It's an assumption. Because when did Paul write this to Timothy in 2 Timothy? He wrote it in 67 A.D. Everybody hear me? 67 A.D., give or take, right? Very, very good estimate on that because we know about the historical stuff surrounding Paul. It was right before Paul's martyrdom in Rome, all right? Because he talked about that. He talked about the time, his time drawing near. All right. So Second Timothy, you want me to tell you what New Testament books had, were already written? Going all the way back to 45 A.D. We already had the book of James, Galatians, Mark, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Matthew, Luke, Acts, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and Philippians. And if you do the math, let's say Timothy was 30. 67 A.D., you back up to 45 A.D., is 22 years. So he would have been 8 years old. From a child you have known about the scriptures that would tell you about Christ Jesus and salvation. Where would he have known this? James. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And let me go on and say this. Timothy was pretty much a New Testament scribe. So Timothy, having become a young man, having a mother and a grandmother who are already in the faith, would have been well acquainted with the New Testament scriptures, which is why he ended up traveling with Paul and witnessing most of it firsthand and writing almost every one of Paul's letters for him in dictation. So this is what I'm talking about when you get these fools out here and people listen to these fools and they think a statement like that's correct. But what is a statement like that to do? Cast doubt on the New Testament. Cast doubt on it. Now, let me show you this. We're going to go through some scriptures real quick. Is the New Testament considered scriptures by the apostles? Are they considered commandments of the Lord? Let's read this. So go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to show you where the apostle Peter called Paul's writings scripture. I know I'm bouncing around a little bit, y'all, but this really does go with my message. Same old lies. What has God said? God said, don't eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Oh, no, you can eat of it. What did God really say? What does God really mean? Is that really God's word? Do we really have to adhere to this? All right? So 2 Peter, chapter 3, let's read this. He starts talking about verse 15. We'll start there. Let y'all put it up. This is right before the apostle Peter was martyred, and he knew it was coming. In fact, he told him, I will shortly be put to death. And he says this, verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. Now, does it sound like they thought Paul was a heretic or a false apostle? No. Our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So the apostle Peter includes Paul's writings. He said they're twisting Paul's writings like they do the other scriptures. That's like saying they're twisting Paul's scriptures like they do all the other scriptures. All right? So it's pretty clear where the apostle Peter stood at the end of his life on the apostle Paul's writing. Here's a few verses for you. Here's another one. Let's look at another one from Peter. Go back up to in chapter 3 to verses 1 and 2 here. Verses 1 and 2. We're going to just run through some Bible verses. He says here, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You notice what he puts on there? You need to listen to the words of the prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles. Somebody say the New Testament has commandments. What does the word commandment mean? Came from the Lord, right? That was pretty pitiful, but I'm going to let y'all slide this morning. So he says commandments. So let's look at a few other passages. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1:1. I'll throw that one up there. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul said this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. By what? He's talking about a direct command from God. I am an apostle by direct command from God, just like the prophets of old in the old covenant said, the Lord ordained me, called me, thus saith the Lord God, this is the word from the Lord, or this is the commandment from the Lord. He said it real plainly here. Let's keep going. Titus 1:3. He says here, that God hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Everybody see that? So Paul's saying the things that I've been preaching, the things committed to me, the things given to me about the gospel of Jesus Christ, are by commandment of God, our Savior. I'm not just making this up. This is not a commentary. This is not my opinion. And whenever Paul inserted his opinion, he would always say, this is me. This is not from the commandment of the Lord. And he only did that a few times. But he was very clear, the things that I am saying to you, I received by revelation direct from the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. There's a few more. 1 Thessalonians 4:2. You see what you have to do, Mr. Dustin Wells? You have to throw out all of this and just make Paul a liar, make Peter a liar. If you're going to say that the New Testament's not scriptures, this fool even said that he does not believe we've even entered into the new covenant. This is a deceived heretic, this Dustin Wells. But let me tell you, he's at Take on the World right now. Chris Bailey, Liz Bailey, with Robbie Davidson and Rob Skiba and Pastor Nate Wolf, appropriately named, selling zeets and beard soap for the trim beards they're not supposed to trim. What do you say here? For you know what commandments we gave you by our own minds, our own hearts, our own ideas. No, he said, for you know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. We got a few more. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I love this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Listen, as much as they may hate it, God anointed, called, ordained the Apostle Paul to write half the New Testament. If you want to throw Paul out, you got to throw half the New Testament out of the window. Here's what he said. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul was praising them for accepting what they were preaching and teaching, not as the word of men, but as a word directly from God, inspired by God, directly communicated to them from God. That's pretty strong. Goodness, I got so many up here. Let's go to one more here, or two. We might go. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. This is the book that destroys the whole Torah Hebrew roots movement right here. That's why they hate it so. It's why they hate Paul. It's why they hate the New Testament. It's particularly, though, why they hate Galatians and Hebrews and Acts and Ephesians and Colossians. Because they need you to believe that you got to keep the old covenant law. You got to wear the little tassels, the little zitzits. You'll wear those zitzits, brother. You're not right with God. Because you need those hanging on your belt to remind you to live the way you're supposed to live. Now, you know what I tell them? In the New Testament, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells within us. He's the one that tells us how to live. I don't need something hanging from my pants to tell me how to live. And what they did, well, Jesus wore them. Yeah, Jesus operated under the old covenant until he died, shed his blood, and instituted the new covenant. Well, folks, we're in a new covenant, right? It's very plain. Better covenant with better promises, right? And I've talked about this a lot. But Galatians 1, here's what the Apostle Paul said. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle. Now, this the word apostle means a sent one, a messenger from God. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, he says, grace to you, peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And then he goes on to say, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Meaning, we've already preached to you the gospel that's from God. If anybody comes back and tries to change that, they are not from God. We don't care if it's if we do it or an angel does it. We've presented to you the Holy Spirit-inspired gospel of Jesus Christ, the commandments of Jesus Christ, what he said and what he did, and what he gave us to give to you. If anybody tries to change that, he said they're cursed. He said, let them be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But he says this, look at verse 11. But I certify unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. That's pretty clear. Then, let's go to Revelation 1, just quickly. It's one of my favorites. So, Revelation 1. Verse 9, the Lord speaks, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. I was in the Spirit, capital S. I mean, I was in the Holy Spirit. That meaning he's talking about I was in the presence of Almighty God. I was in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. This particular, he said, on the Lord's Day, and that's actually Sunday. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And he turns and he sees Jesus. And then later Jesus says what? Come up here. Anybody that would say that the New Testament, you would have to be including the book of Revelation as well. You'd have to be saying this is not inspired by God either. Let me tell you something. Anybody, I don't care if it's Rob Skiba, Nate Wolfie, Wolf, Robbie Davidson, Rick Joyner. And these people start going down these roads to cast doubt on God's word. It's from the devil. It's from the serpent. Listen, here's the facts, folks. The New Testament has more manuscript evidence than any 10 books of ancient history. Think about that. You take 10 books of ancient history and you can't even add up to all the ancient manuscript evidence that we have for the New Testament. It is the most attested to book of ancient history or antiquity, as they would call it. We know we have the original. We have fragments going all the way back to the first century, word for word, what we have now. We have early church fathers, people who were discipled by John and by Paul and by Peter, who stated, these are the books. The New Testament was put together before many people even understand it, long before the Catholic Church came into being. Because we can trust. This is what I'm saying. God said in Psalm, I'm just going to give you, throw these out. Psalm 12, he said, through David, King David, the Holy Spirit said, the Lord speaking, I'm going to preserve my word forever to all generations. That's why that Mandela effect is a hoax. The Mandela effect is a lie. It's the serpent talking, claiming God's words change. Come on. Snap out of it, Christians. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away. In fact, what most people don't realize is the book of Hebrews says that the New Testament in particular is his will and testament, meaning his last will, a legal document. Think about that one for a minute. God's legal document, his last wishes for his people, before he dies and then raises, and then he spells it all out. We know this. You know, my aunt just passed away. My great aunt just passed away. 97 years old. And, of course, when I was a little baby, crawling on the floor in the house that we live in now, that was my great-grandfather's house. And I was a little baby crawling on the floor, and my great-grandfather pointed at me and told my great-aunts, his daughters, he gets this place. So it was put in the will that I would inherit this house and part of the land. That is a legal document. Here is my wishes. Here is what I desire. And it's legal. Has witnesses. And, of course, she passed away, and now the will is being executed. So the New Testament was already in the mind of God. It was already done. It was already written. So when Jesus comes as a man and dies for our sin, then the will now is executed. You understand? This is his will and testament. It is inspired by him. It is infallible, inspired, inerrant. And that's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. God put everything in here that he wanted. Oh, Pastor Dean, but the Catholics have these books, more books, and this one has this. Let me tell you something. We know what God wanted in there. And we know why some of these other books were left out. Doesn't take long reading them to figure out why they were left out. All right? And they have to be attested to that they were written by the apostles. We have to have evidence. We have to have evidence. We have to have manuscript evidence, archaeological evidence, historical evidence. If it doesn't exist, we can't accept it. But everything in here, these 66 books, we got the evidence. We got the historical evidence, the manuscript evidence. We got it all. So we know they existed thousands of years ago. We know they came from those people. God set it up that way. Remember, look, there were people trying to cast doubt on God's word many years ago and said, King David never existed. It was just a myth. It was just a Hebrew, Israeli myth. King David didn't exist. And then an archaeologist digs up a big stone engraved from 1000 BC time period. Talks about the house of David, King David. Talks about King David defeating these other armies. Oops. Remember Jesus said something about the stones crying out, didn't he? The stone's been crying out for a long time now. Oh, none of it existed. Pontius Pilate didn't exist. Well, non-Christian archaeologists dug up the Pilate stone. Every time they say something didn't exist, we find it buried in the dirt. No, the Bible is the only book in the world like that. You hear me? I mean, we even found the Apostle Peter's house where Christians would meet, used it as a church meeting place. And what do we have in the Gospels, how everybody came to Peter's house that evening to hear Jesus teach and get healed and delivered from demons and stuff? And they dug it up, found out, yep, Christians met there. Right where, guess what? Bible said it was. Archaeologists also found Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. Guess what? Right where the Bible says it is. And they found unusual balls of sulfur there that are 95%, 96% pure sulfur. Doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. Brimstone and sulfur. God rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the Bible is the only book in the world, the only religious book, that's got the proof to back it up. Amen. And we got a bunch of fools running around claiming to be Christians who are just the voice of the serpent hissing to cast their doubts upon it. See, all Eve had to say to the serpent was, no, 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 no thanks. I'm staying with what God said. Would have been a whole different story. Well, let me ask you something. Do you want your life to follow the serpent's whispers, the same old lies? Are you going to stand on God's word even when the whole world goes the other direction? Because they're about to. They're about to. You hear me? I'm going to tell you what's coming. Let me tell you what's coming. The alien ships are coming. You know what they are? Those are the chariots. You know, the Bible talks about chariots, and when you look them up, you know what they look like? Little cylinder disc. The chariots of the angels. And they're going to show up. And they're not going to say, hey, we're the fallen angels who came, you know, who left and rebelled with Satan. They're going to say, oh, we're from a galaxy far, far away. We are your creators. We seeded your DNA here. And you know what? All that is, even though it's going to be the biggest show on earth, all that is the whispers of the serpent. Believe me, don't believe that old book. Don't believe that old, even though that old book has been proven again and again and again and again and again to be the truth and to be reliable and to truly be divinely inspired by God. No, don't believe the book. Believe what you see on TV. Remember, it says the false prophet. And let me just go and tell you, the Popopotamus, I got that one. I stole that one from Billy Painter. The Popopotamus, he just came out. I even looked at it this morning. He just came out and said, all religions are coming together now. But there's one little pesky one. He knows that there's one little pesky part of the religious world. And that is these pesky little, and he calls us mentally ill people who say Jesus is the only way to heaven. If you're that exclusive and intolerant, you're mentally ill, according to the Popopotamus. Again, whispers of the serpent. Let me tell you what's soon to come out of the Vatican archives. Alien skulls. But again, the world's going to say, oh, it's aliens. But we, if you know the Bible, and if you believe the Bible, you're going to go, no, that's a skull of a Nephilim. That's a skull of a Raphaim or a Zamzuman or an Emanim. Or the children of Anak. Isn't it interesting that Luke Skywalker was Anakim, which is the exact word for the giants? Half-breed. He even says Luke Skywalker was a half-breed of something, right? They put it in every movie. Right? They put it in all these movies. You know, they're skulls. They're different DNA than ours. Similar, but different. And they're going to pull it out and say, yes, we've known this for centuries. But we had to hide it. It's all coming, folks. It's all coming. But it's nothing new. They're going to say, you can do whatever you want. You're going to be as gods with us. We're going to give you the technology, the ability to heal yourself, the ability to live forever. Everything he said in the garden, it's going to be nothing new. But let me tell you, we're going to have the freaks on top of the building just like Independence Day. Oh! They're here. Remember, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, his original name, Halal, when he was an angel, he is always wanted to supplant and take the place of God, which is why he changed creation into something that it is not. This is why he's trying to change man into his image. You hear what I'm saying? He's always done this. But trust me on this. Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. Y'all don't know they had flying machines way back when. Helicopters. And there's pictures of helicopters in Egyptian hieroglyphics. No, the fallen ones came down here to gave their knowledge to man. Try to make man in their image. And they're doing it again. Trying to manipulate our DNA. Going to try to meld us with animals and machines. Oh, and you people out there keep pumping your kids with these vaccines. You want to know all these kids coming down with cancer? We feel it. We see the St. Jude commercials. Let me tell you. You pump these kids with animal DNA, aborted fetus DNA, mercury, and aluminum that's in all these vaccines, and you wonder why their immune systems are turning on their bodies. And these are facts. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, I can read. Your ingredients, thimerosal. What is thimerosal? Oh, it's mercury. Oh, what is mercury? A neurotoxin. They admit aluminum causes what? Alzheimer's, dementia, brain deterioration. And yet, when everybody found out that mercury was in the vaccines as a preservative, which makes no sense, then they started putting aluminum in it. Aluminum! You're not supposed to put aluminum in your body. And then they're monkeying around with the plants. They're creating these mutant plants that produce their own poison to kill insects. Well, do you think that poison might affect us? Killing the bees. And let me tell you, when they kill the bees, we all die. That's why Jesus said that he had to come back and cut those days short, because no one would be left. Because we've got a bunch of satanic, demon-possessed, pedophiles, Satan worshipers running the world. The only truth, the only absolute truth is this Bible right here that told you these people were going to worship the devil and do all this stuff in the end. Told you every bit of it in detail, and there's still some of you out there resisting becoming a born-again Christian following Jesus. You're still resisting, even though this book told you about the new. You believe the new world order, the mark of the beast, and all this stuff, but this is the book that told you it was coming. But you won't turn loose of your sin and your unbelief and your wickedness and your pride and your idols and your sexual perversion. But this book told you the truth. Oh, I know the New World Order is going to be a one-world government. This book told you that 3,000 years ago, that they would do it in the last days. Oh, they're going to take us to a cashless money system, and they're going to implant us with a chip and control everything, all buying. This told you that 2,000 years ago they were going to do it. Show me that in the Quran. Show me that in the Hindu Vedas. Show me that in the writings of Buddhism. It's not there because it's not the truth. Satan created all these other false religions to confuse everybody. There's not many ways to God. There's one way, one truth, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross, rose from the dead. God in the flesh. There is no other. And he said, the road is narrow and few would find it. And he said, in the last days, many would be deceived. Many would follow destructive and pernicious ways. Don't go with the serpent. Oh, yeah. You want to go that way? He'll give you knowledge. Your eyes will be open. He'll open your third eye for you. So you can see in the spirit world, and they can lead you around and think you've become a God and a God consciousness. They'll do that. Yeah, it'll be open. All right. Get into Hindu and Buddhist meditation and yoga and all this stuff and think it's good. Go ahead with your bad self. You let me tell you. See, I get the phone calls after these people's lives are wrecked by all this demonic mess. I'm going to tell you what, But we got some powerful, man, some new students coming to school. You want to talk about some powerful testimonies. I'm like, wow. I've been blown away. We talked to some of them, and oh, man, amazing. Where God, some people have come out of this new age stuff. I mean, from darkness, from having spirit guides. Spirit guides are demons, folks. You hear me? But it was such a beautiful vision of the little white glowing angel. Yep. Paul said, and Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Where are they leading you? I remember Steve Hill, the Brownsville rival, used to say, everybody's following somebody. Who you follow? Let's stand. I feel like doing. I feel like we need to do. I see the Lord again before we leave this morning. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's Jesus. Jesus is God. Get that. Let that see. He is the true God. He is the creator. He is the savior. He is the redeemer. He is the risen Lord now, whose eyes are as fire, his hair white as snow. The risen Jesus is something else. John saw it. Let's think about him before we leave.
your case and touch the cold to my lips. Yeah, they did. Now my guilt is gone and my sin has been forgiven. Calls to me, who shall I send? And I say, Lord, my house and my land and my cars and my job and my family and my stuff is not more important than you.
Today, Lord, that everyone, God, watching, listening, if there's anyone out there, God, that they don't know you yet, that they will come to know all that you've done for them on the cross, your resurrection, that you love them, you want to save them, that you are the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who became a man, the mystery of godliness, that God became a man to die for our sins, that we might be forgiven, restored, delivered, and set free from the powers of darkness, from the lies of Satan, from the addictions. Lord, I pray that people will come to know you. They will surrender their lives. They will believe and repent and give their lives completely to you, Jesus. We pray this today, and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're out of here. God bless you guys watching and listening. Hug some necks before you leave.